Hey guys, and welcome to my first podcast on it. This is a very, very personal project here, and I thought for quite a long time about this. Yeah, finally, I know exactly what I want to give you guys here. And in this podcast, I will talk about becoming the best version of yourself. I will share very personal stories with all of you guys. I will do it in a kind of diary version. So this is very, very personal here. And I know that a lot of girls out there are thinking about changing their life, even if it's just about, like, let's say, private aspects, not only about business. They're stuck at one place and they wanna become finally the best version of themselves, mentally, physically, financially. And this podcast, it's all about that. I wanna show you how you can go out and get whatever you want. So, and that's why I also choose the name Own It. So, because I'm convinced that everyone that is ready for change can own whatever they want. If you want the business, own it. If you want the relationship, own it. If you want the money, go and get it. So, and let's get directly started. I also will get on some guests later on. But yeah, in this episode, I want to focus on my own story. I want to give you a detailed and also uncutted version of my story. The things that I will tell you here are super private things. Not even my closest friends know my real story. So it's gonna be very, very exciting. And yeah, let's get directly started. So as some of you know, I reached to turn my life completely around from a broke corporate girl to a six-figure entrepreneur with 25 years old living my dream life in Dubai. And this wasn't always like this. So I also started completely from scratch. And I did not grow up like rich. I grew up completely broke, to be honest. A lot of you guys know that I was born in the Dominican Republic, and I was born really, really humble. So from all of you guys that ever have been to the Dominican Republic, and I don't mean by that the tourist side, I mean by that the real Dominican Republic, you guys know how it looks like there. So I grew up with my single mother and my brother, and in the ghetto. To be honest, I'm not gonna lie, it was a ghetto, and it's still a ghetto. So it was kind of like a favela in Spanish. They call it barrio. So it's a kind of little city, little village that where the poorest part of the city lives. You know what I mean? So, and there was not even running water. There's not even like electricity. So the last time I went to the Dominican Republic was like 6 months ago, and they're finally, they made it to have in this part of the city electricity. There's sometimes like where the electricity is gone like for 1 hour, but this is like, that's it. But back then there was nothing, no running water, no electricity. And yeah, and my mom tried to make a life for us. So, and with 3 years old, we moved to Germany. So my mom got married here in Germany. And yeah, and then my journey began. So my mom had two cleaning jobs back then to give us the best life for us. And I also remember when my mom took me always with her to those cleaning jobs, because she was a single mother and she had no money to get a nanny. So that means when my brother was at school or somewhere else, then she had nobody who could take care of me in that time. And I remember how she took me always to those cleaning jobs, and I hated it because I just wanted to play with my friends. So, and this was one of the, I would say, the most important parts of my life, because there I saw like the real struggle. I saw at one side my mother as a cleaning lady working for all those, I would say, corporate boys and girls there. And I saw the one side also, those corporate people. And my mother always told me, hey, try to be good in school so that you not end up as a cleaning lady, so that you can become one of those corporate people. But even with 6 years old, so when she took me always to those cleaning jobs, I realized, okay, I don't want to be either the cleaning lady, and I also don't want to be one of those corporate people. Because I remember those people were sitting there like until 6 p.m. So it was such nice weather in summer, and they were stuck in their job. And I was like, I don't want to have that life. So I realized back then, okay, I don't want that. So, and I remember back then when I was like 6, 7, 8 years old, sitting at the adult table. So probably all of you guys know the adult table, when you were like at a party with your parents and there was like the chill table and then the adult table. And I was sitting at the adult table because I loved the conversations there. So, and I remember how I was asking all those people there how I can become rich. And I remember that someone answered this question and he said like, hey, you need to become a boss. And I was like, okay, how I can become a boss? And he were like, normally the people who are bosses, they study. And I was like, okay, wait, I need to study. And he said like, okay, most of them, they're studying economics. And if you want to become a boss, I highly recommend you to be good in school and to study economics. So in this conversation, since today, I have it in my mind. I was like, okay, hey, I need to become a boss, no matter what. And I remember back then, it was like when you thought about owning a company, about getting rich, it was always like, okay, you need to invent something very fancy, very unique that nobody has done before you. So, and I thought always, oh my God, this will be so complicated, but I need to become a boss because I don't want to have that normal life. And also seeing my mom struggling, or ourselves struggling, so my whole family, I was like, I don't want that life. So I remember how money was always like a problem. So just by looking like at Christmas, there's such a crazy story that I need to share with you guys. When all the kids around me, they got like PlayStations, they got like, you know, those fancy gifts for Christmas. And I saw this one teddy bear in the store. And he was so, so, so fluffy and so cute. And I just want to have it. And I told my mom, wow, if you just could get me this one teddy bear, I would be so happy. And I don't know for how much it was. I think like 10 euros, something like that. And she got me that teddy bear on this Christmas. And I was so fucking happy. And since today, I still have this teddy bear because this teddy bear always reminds me where I really came from. So, and I remember when I moved to Dubai, my mom asked me, you don't want to take your teddy bear with you? And I was like, unfortunately, I don't have space in my suitcase for it. But I swear, if I would have the space, I would have take that teddy bear with me. So, and this is simply how I grew up. So, and back then in school, I always compared myself to other children. I was always like, why all those children have this and why I don't have that? So, and it was always like a money kind of thing. I was always like, I want to also get that kind of game. I also want to have those kind of clothes. I want to have this, I want to have that. So all in all, since I'm a little child, all I ever wanted was everything. So, and I remember in school how I was bullied back then, also for my skin color, for not being one of those coolest kids with the new phone and everything. And especially when I was 11 years old, I moved to a little village. And before that, I lived in a city. So, and in this little village, there were no people of color. So literally, just me, my brother, and I think like another family was there that was like black. So, and there came the first time the topic of racism in my life. So, because I realized, okay, hey, I'm not like the others, I'm different. So, and the others always made me feel that. So, and I remember to this time, I did not have the best grades in school. So, especially for that, I got bullied a lot. A lot of the kids always told me, like, hey, you will never make it to something, you will become a cleaning lady when you grow up. And this was for me a huge thing, to be honest, because I realized, okay, hey, let me prove them wrong. And this was the moment when I flipped the switch, ladies and gentlemen, because I had from day one the feeling, okay, hey, there's potential in me. Even if they say I'm ugly, even if they say my skin color is not beautiful, even if they say I will become a cleaning lady, I had from day one always the feeling I mean for bigger things. And I have a lot of potential in me. And I remember when the high school was over, I needed to take a big decision. Like I said, I wasn't the best in school. I had not the best grades. And there was one school that I wanted to visit after high school. It was like a secondary school where you go usually before you go to university, before you go into your apprenticeship and so on. And I wanted to go so bad to that school. And the problem was back then that in the village that I lived, there was no bus or train or something that could get me to that school. So I needed to find a way how I can move out of home. So, and I was 16 to this time. So, and I made a plan by myself. Okay, hey, the only option to go to that school is really to move out. So, and to move out, I need money. So, and in Germany, it was the case that you could get like support from the government when you needed to go to a specific university, when you needed to go to a specific school, etc. But you couldn't reach that by your own because you had no car or you had no, there was no bus or train, etc. So, the case where I was back then. So, and what I did then, that I convinced my mom to move out, and she said, okay, hey, if this is your plan and if this is the best for your future, because it was in this case, I wanted to have like a better degree to get a better job back in the future. And then I literally went to all the government places, to all the viewings of the apartments and everything by myself. So, and there I realized, okay, hey, Maribel, if you can do already this by yourself, what else can you do alone? So you don't need anyone to achieve something in your life. You are capable of taking the completely responsibility of your own life. So, and then I made it. So I moved into my own apartment. Then at this time, I think I just got 17 years old. So I had birthday, something like that. So to this time, I had a boyfriend. And this was a very long relationship. I will talk about this relationship also in a few other episodes because I could learn a lot from it. So, and in this secondary school, I really realized how the school system works. And I had such a great degree after it. I was literally shocked because I did not expect it that school can be so easy when you understand how the system works. After the school, you had to decide what you do next. So, if you do an apprenticeship or if you go to university. And I decided to do an apprenticeship because I was facing a big problem. I needed to pay my rent for my apartment. So, and the government couldn't take care anymore of me after doing that secondary school. So I decided to do, first of all, this apprenticeship for 3 years to earn money, to gain experience and so on. And I remember back then that I was looking for something where I could earn a lot of money. So here came again the money topic. I always wanted to have a life where money doesn't play a role. So, and I remember back then the people telling me, hey, if you want to make good money, especially in an apprenticeship, you should go into finance or insurance. So, and I'm not gonna lie, I was not even interested in finance or insurance. I was like, okay, hey, I'm good in math, I'm good when it comes to numbers in general. So I knew, okay, I'm pretty smart. And everyone told me, okay, if you're like this, go into finance, you will be able to make a lot of money. So, and then I sent my applications and I got an application from a really, really good company back then. And literally the first interview in this company, they gave me such a frame. I remember it, how they told me, hey, we are literally the best in the market and we are like the top of every brokers out there for industrial insurances. And if you start with us, you will not regret it, and so on. And back then, I was like a little girl that believed everything. So, and I'm not gonna lie, this company wasn't bad at all. So they were crushing it in the market. So, but it was not like the job, like the number one thing, you know? So, and they took me. So, and I was super happy about it. And to be honest, this was the, this were the worst 4 years of my whole fucking life. I'm not gonna lie. In this apprenticeship, every single day I needed to play a role. I couldn't be myself. I was working with people that made fun of me, especially about my skin color, again. Even when it came to things like my style, how I dress, my hair, I couldn't be myself. So I remember coming to that job back then with open hair and they were making fun of me. Wow, seems like you did not make your hair today. Why it's open? It doesn't look good. Because as you know, guys, I have very curly hair. So also with the style and everything, we always had like a very, very strict dress code there. Oh my God, I got called so often to the boss office and it was so, so bad. Just by thinking about the evening before I need to go to work tomorrow, I got anxiety. Just by waking up in the morning, I got anxiety. I was like, I don't want to go to that place. But I knew, okay, hey, I need that apprenticeship. I already started. I can stop that right now. And to be honest, this were like the worst 4 years of my life, because in this time I also completely lost myself, because they destroyed my completely personality, my completely self-esteem. I remember how I needed to listen to racism jokes. It was really, really bad. So also in that time, I had some struggle with my boyfriend, I remember. So like I said before, with 17 years old, I got my first real relationship, and it became kind of like an on-off relationship after like 3-4 years. So, and I remember the first breakup. This guy was literally my happy place, I'm not gonna lie. I was a person back then that always sticked when it came to her happiness to people or to materialistic things. I never had the happiness inside of myself back then. After the first breakup with him in the on-off season, I would say, I needed to be alone for the first time. And I never have been alone, to be honest, after I started this relationship with him. So we were always together. We were literally living together. So, and I realized how many problems I really have, especially when it comes to myself. So I'm talking about mental problems here, like doubting myself like crazy. I had literally no self-esteem at all. And in this time, I lost myself completely. And when I say completely, I mean completely. So I was full of anxiety. I was full of self-doubt, no confidence, no self-esteem, nothing. And additional to that, that dusty ass 9-to-5 job that were making me problems every single day. So, and to this time, I got the news that my mother was sick. She had cancer, and this was where my world completely collapsed, because I was already struggling so damn hard mentally, and then to know that my mom will probably die, I really couldn't believe that. I remember how I was sitting back then in the car, and she were calling me, and she were like, yeah, please don't freak out and everything is fine, but I need to tell you something. I have cancer. And I was like, fuck. Because I thought, okay, hey, life can be worse. Life can get worse. But this worst, I was angry. I was sad. At the same time, I was like, why this is happening to me? Why it's getting so worse? Or why us better? Because I wasn't the only one who was struggling. My mom was struggling too. So, and to this time, I lost myself completely. I remember how I was trying to distract myself with going to parties and everything. I did not know how to handle a situation like that, especially because I did not know how to take care of myself at this moment. So, but I realized, okay, hey Maribel, if you are not getting your shit together, if you're not taking care of yourself, you can't take care of your mother. So, and this is where I decided to really, really get help. So to really pack my problems and to solve them. So, and this was the best decision that I did in my life. And I remember when my mom went through that whole chemotherapy, and just by seeing her, I realized, okay, hey, wow, there are some people out there struggling and begging for their life. Like, hey, I don't want to die. I want to live. And there are some other people who have the opportunity to live, and they're wasting their life. There I realized, okay, hey, Maribel, you need to change your life. Because whatever you're doing here, that's not living, that's wasting life, and that's wasting time, and that's disrespectful for all the people out there who are begging for their life, who are struggling like my mother. So, and there I realized, okay, hey, I need to get rid of this job as soon as possible. I need to become mentally strong. I need to solve all the problems that I have right now in my life to finally build a life that I can say it's worth living and I'm using it. So, and then I started making a plan. So I started thinking about it. Okay, hey, how I can really change my life? What I should do after this apprenticeship, after I'm done with this hell? So, and I remember that my cousin, Jose, the one that is also my business partner nowadays, he came into my life again and he visited us. This was at the time when my mom still had cancer. I remember they took like a specific picture that he still has on Instagram where my mom has no hair on and everything. And I remember this day he asked me, okay Maribel, what you want to do after your apprenticeship, so what is your plan? And I was like, okay, I want to study social media marketing, I want to become rich, I want to make money. And he were like laughing at me and he were like, you don't need to study social media marketing to become rich, everything you need is an internet. And I was like, no, this doesn't work like this. As you know, you need a degree, you need a certificate, you need something that you can show off, that shows that you're able to do all the things that you want to do. So, and he said, no, everything you need is literally for free in the internet. And this Also, this sentence, I will never ever forget it because it's so true. Whatever you want to do in life, you can do it literally for free nowadays because there's so many informations. And I believed in him. I was like, maybe he's right. So, and he told me then about his plans. He were like, okay, look, I'm right now building a social media agency with a business partner. So we want to deliver different social media agency services to companies that needs it, etc. You want to be a part of it. And I was like, yes, why not? That's like the opportunity that I was waiting for, because my whole life I was thinking about becoming an entrepreneur. I wanted to become that boss, like when I was 7 years old, but I wasn't brave enough. I was like, okay, hey, I don't think that I can manage that by my own. I don't think that I can go out and I'm capable of doing that. But he gave me hope back then. He let me realize, okay, hey, you're not alone. We're going to do this together. And there are already people doing that. And I thought, okay, why not trying it out? I don't have any other option. Either I'm staying in my dusty ass 9-to-5 job and investing all my time and energy into my nightmare, or I'm investing my time and energy into my dream. And even if it doesn't work out, I can say at the end, okay, I tried it out. I did my best and it doesn't work out for me. But at least I tried it out. So, and I remember how she sent me a bunch of YouTube videos and told me, hey, just watch this, watch this, watch this. Even those mindset videos where they frame you and brainwash you like crazy, like, hey, that's how you need to think. You can become a millionaire and so on. So, and I literally started studying it by myself on the internet. So, and back then when we started off this agency, we were offering everything to everyone. We were offering things like Facebook ads, Instagram ads, SEO optimization. We offered Instagram management. We offered literally content creation itself. So going to the places, making the pictures, the videos. We also offered things like flyer creation, like literally everything, email marketing. So, and you know what was the funny thing? That we were not even 100% good at everything. So, and this was the biggest mistake. So for everyone that wants to start a social media agency right now here, stick on 1, 2, let's say max 3 things that you're really, really good at. No one will just take you because you're offering everything. So that's a dumb thought. So, and this was the biggest mistake that we made in the beginning. So, and I remember that we started off with niches like beauty salons. So, and back then I was still in my 9-to-5 job, and in my 9-to-5 job I made a list of all the companies around my office. So I went on Google, searched for beauty salon near my place, and then I noted every single salon down on my notes. And after my shift, I just went from shop to shop, door to door, trying to sell them my social media agency services. And to be honest, I was scared. I was so scared. I was like, I don't know, first of all, how to do that. I don't know if they will really take me. I was so nervous, but I had such a big desire in me to get out of my job, so to make that whole social media agency thing work, that I thought, okay, I will do everything to get out of there, even if I need to go crazy out of my comfort zone and to speak to all of those strangers and to sell them something, I will do that, even if I need to do it every single day. So I was really, really, really committed. So, and my biggest problem back then was that I was so sticked on my old life. Like, I was partying every weekend, I was having the wrong circle of friends, I was still having those old bad habits, and even if I was going all in when it came to client acquisition and all that kind of stuff, I wasn't giving my absolute all. So even if I was trying hard, like going from door to door, what a lot of people were not doing back then, they were just calling them or emailing them, I wasn't giving everything that I could. I still had all those distractions. So, and at this time, we also realized, okay, hey, but we're not having structure, we're not having systems, and we're not having strategies. So, and this was the time where we decided to start off with coaches and mentors. So this were the first time we invested money in ourselves, and we learned how to sell high ticket. We learned how to deliver agency services right. We learned how to manage clients right. So how to do all that kind of background work that you need to do in an agency to also hold the clients. And from time to time, we then made the first money. I remember when I made my first money that I bought my MacBook that I have here. I still have my MacBook from back then. And I felt like my own sugar daddy. I'm not gonna lie. I was like, wow, 1K, look what I just bought myself. So I'm spoiling myself and so on. It was such a nice time. And I remember I got that money for managing an Instagram page for a real estate agent. So, and yeah, and then I started to get hope. I started to realize, okay, hey, this whole thing can really, really work out. So look, we are making money with it. So, and to this time, I also met Selena for the first time. It was such a funny story. Selena is the girlfriend from Jose, so from my cousin Jose. And I visited him for a weekend where we wanted to record some content for our agency. And we were in the city and he was like, hey, there's one girl, I'm dating her right now. I wanna visit her quick in her lunch break. You guys are coming with me. And I wasn't alone. My other cousin was also with me. And I remember when I saw her for the first time, I was like, wow, another random chick from Jose, so nothing special. And when I just look back, realizing who Selena now, so what kind of person she is in my life, it's crazy. But I was back then like, another random girl from him. And back then, I did not have something against her, but we were not liking each other so much. Also the same thing for Selena. I remember Selena telling me, hey, you remember back then? I did not like you really. So, and it's such a funny story. So, and when Booth came together, she had a big insight into our business and she realized, okay, hey, those guys have no structure at all. They need help when it comes to administration. And she decided to help us out. And back then she was planning to do a wedding planner coaching, something like this, so to become a coach. But COVID started. So, and all her plans were destroyed, so she couldn't do it. And then she said like, hey, why I can't join you guys? So I think it would be nice to do this together. And we thought, okay, why not? Let's do that together. So to be honest, when she joined, I was a little bit scared because I knew, okay, you're starting off a business with a couple. So, and as you know, especially when it comes to starting off a business with a family, what I already did, and then starting off a business with a couple, that's a thing, ladies and gentlemen, because you never know, okay, hey, if this could destroy the business itself when it comes to fights and everything like that. But I thought, okay, Maribel, you don't have another option. So you want to build that business and you have already the Wolf Foundation. You have built that Wolf Foundation with all of those guys. So continues. And even if it's like that, that it doesn't work out, then you can always decide at the end of the day, okay, hey, let me go my own way. So, and when COVID started, this was the best thing that ever happened in our life. I'm not gonna lie. So when a lot of people were struggling, we were focusing completely on our business. So, and I remember that a lot of people were especially struggling mentally to that time because this was the first time they were alone. So, and also to add something to the story before, where I lost myself, where I was also struggling pretty mentally, it was because I was forced to be alone. So, and now looking back at COVID, I understand why all that happened. And I understand also why all so many people were struggling to that time in COVID. And for me, this second time where I was forced to be alone, I got so strong. I got a crazy mindset in that time. I finally realized how peaceful it can be to be alone when you have a clear mind, when your mind is literally your peace. So, and this is the wealthiest thing ever, because this is a place that you can't escape from. So when you are having a war, let's say in your head, girl, you lost, you need to stop it. But when you're having peace in your head, when your head is full of ideas, full of hope, full of inspiration, what I had in that time when I was starting off my business, when I was seeing all that hope, when I was seeing, okay, hey, there's some light, so I can escape my 9-to-5 job. That's magic. And this was the best time of my life. So I was focusing on my business and I had finally a distraction-free time, because there were no parties, so nobody asking me out. There were no 9-to-5 shift, so I could work from home. So, and that mean I could cheat. So I could work on my 9-to-5 job from home, have one laptop there and the other laptop working on my business. So, and at this time, I realized, okay, hey, Maribel, you need to commit yourself. So, and this was the second time in my life where I flipped the switch. I was like, I don't want to live that life. I will do everything that is in my power to quit my job. And I really made a plan. I took a piece of paper, I wrote everything down that I need to do to quit my job, and I also structured how my life needs to look like to do all that thing. So I really made a plan and I decided, okay, hey, no longer toxic friends. I cut it off every single person that is not giving me a positive impact in my life, that is not helping me to become the person that I want to be. I cut it off all the bad habits and I said to myself, okay, hey, no social media until I'm able to quit my job. No dating until I'm able to quit my job. No alcohol until I'm able to quit my job. And this was my rule. No matter what happened, nobody could get me out of my rules. So this was for me like a law. And I really committed myself. And I remember back then when I was invited to a birthday from a friend. And I told my friends that I'm not gonna drink this night because I wanted to work on a Sunday on my business, because as you know, I was still in my 9-to-5 job. So I needed to structure my time right. So, and I remember how they were talking behind my back, like, hey, you became so boring, so why are you not drinking, and so on. So they really got mad because I decided to not drink. And I was like, okay, hey, if those people do not support my healthy habits and do not support the person that I want to become, they not to support my journey, those are not the right people. So in this were the moment where I started cutting off all those fake friends. So, and I was really, really alone to that time. So, but one thing that was clear for me, even if I was alone, I wasn't lonely. Because I had myself. As long as I have the peace with myself, everything can go out of my life. So, and I knew, okay, hey, I need to go that journey. If not, I will fucking regret it. So, and after getting rid of all those bad habits and toxic friends, I really, really went all in business because I had nothing. I had no toxic friends distracting me. I had no bad habits left inside of me. All I did in my free time was working out, working my business, sleep, eat, and repeat. And I remember when we then hit our first five-figure month, so the first $10,000 per month with our company. And this goal was so, so far away back then for us. And when we finally achieved, we were so happy about it. And I realized, okay, hey, when I'm able to make $10,000, I'm also able to make 20,000. When I'm able to make 20,000, I'm also to make 30,000. So I literally gained hope back then. So, and after 6 months after the pandemic started, it was in September 2020, I was finally able to quit my job. I remember that day, the 1st September 2020, when I was finally free and I could 100% focus on my business. So, and when we started making the first money with our business, we also started off with different business models. For example, we started a dropshipping business. And this dropshipping business made us the first big money. With this dropshipping business, we were able to make 80k net profit within 2 months, and this was for us huge. You need to remember, we were making like 10k per month and then making within 2 months like 80k. This was crazy for us. So in this dropshipping business was a curse but also a blessing for us. At one side, we were making a lot of money, but the other side, our ego increased like crazy. So, and one thing that happens when you're doing dropshipping, probably a lot of you guys who ever have done dropshipping know those problems, is that you're getting a lot of problems with Facebook, you're getting a lot of problems with PayPal and so on. And back then we offered in our agency Facebook ads and Instagram ads. This were literally our number one service with which we were making the money. So people were paying us money to run ads for them on Instagram and Facebook to get more clients or to get more employees. And with this dropshipping business, we were using obviously our Facebook accounts. So, and because of the ads from this shop, from this dropshipping business, all our Facebook accounts got banned. From one day to another. First the one from Jose, then mine, and at the end of the day, even Selena's Facebook account. And the thing is with Facebook is that you get like kind of like you can get like a ban where you can't run ads at all. So there's no way you can get your account back and so on. And you need to remember, our main income source was our agency, where we were running ads for our clients. So from one day to the other day, all our accounts were banned and we needed to find a solution for it to still run the ads for our clients. So we needed to make money. So we needed to explain to our clients, so hey, we can't run your ads no more. Other problem was we couldn't even run the ads for our dropshipping business because we had no accounts at all. So, and also additional to that, we thought, okay, it can get worse. All the money in our PayPal account got blocked. So literally for 90 days, they blocked us like 15K. And this was a lot of money for us. So in every single sale that we made through our dropshipping business, back then, most of the people paid with PayPal. So all the money that came in got directly blocked. So, and then we needed to find a solution. Okay, hey, first of all, how we can get the accounts back to run the ads for our clients and how we can get our shop back on track. So, and we find some solution, but at this time it was already too late. So the product that we were running wasn't running so well anymore. So, and we we're not making really money with it anymore. So, and we were still having problems with Facebook. Even if we got like new accounts and everything, we always got problems. So, and Selena came with the idea, it was at the end of 2020. She came with the idea, hey, why we're not trying to do something that is completely organically, so without Facebook or Instagram ads, so something that is like from us, so something that we can own. And she showed us back then the theme page business model, and she said like, hey, there's some people out there, they're making six figures with all those quote pages. And I remember how Jose and I, we laughed about her, so we made fun about her and told her, hey, we don't think that we can really make money with that, so forget about this. And I remember how Selena started with this theme page business without telling us. And one day when we realized we had a lot of problems with Facebook again, we decided, okay, let's give it a try. So because we don't have any other option, because we are having from time to time problems with Facebook, we are not making money right now because of that, let's give it a try. So, and then we committed ourselves to scale up this theme page. So we started in January 2021 with 100 followers. And I remember how I made a poll on Instagram asking the people, hey, we're starting this quote page, do you think we are able to hit the 10,000 followers within 1 month? And I remember how all the people, and especially my friends, they were saying, no, you're not able to do that, and you will never make it, and so on. And yeah, we did not make it within 1 month, but we make it within 2 months, what was super impressive back then, because back then there were no reels or something that could go viral, so it were simply just quotes. So, and we worked a lot to scale up this theme page to this 10,000 followers. So, and we were not using ads, we were not spending money on that page, we were just doing everything completely organically. Selena back then bought like a $6 course with which we built up this theme page to this 10,000 followers. And yeah, and the page completely blew up. Within a few months, we hit the first 13,000 followers, then the 15,000 followers, then the 60. After 6-7 months, we even hit the 100,000 follower mark. What was crazy for us. We did not expect it that it can go so crazy to build a reach on Instagram, and especially a community. All those people on this page, they were supporting us like crazy from day one. All those people were screaming for one thing. Hey, we want to build a business. Can you teach me how to build a business? Can you teach me how I can make money beside of my 9-to-5 job? We knew we need to monetize that page. So, and we had different options to monetize that page with like digital products, like ebooks, journals, etc. And also things like coaching and consulting for sure. But we had one big problem back then, and it was that our English wasn't good enough. As you can hear, my English is not the best, but back then it was really, really bad. So, and we were so scared what other people might think about us, what other people might say about us. Hey, we can't understand you guys, so your English is not good enough, etc. So, and I remember at this time we were struggling financially a lot, because we were doing this dropshipping business and we were having after that such a crazy ego. We made the first big money with it. So, and we realized, okay, how easy it can be to make money. Literally, when you have a dropshipping store and a winning product that works good, you can literally force to get rich when you have money to invest. So, and we knew, okay, with this dropshipping business, we don't have to deal with annoying clients. We can scale it up super easily. We can make really, really good money within a short time with it. And we wanted to stick on it. And we invested more and more money in it. We tried to build our brand behind of the product that we found back then. And we invested a lot of money in coachings and mentorings and so on. And every single time when our agency client or a new prospect for the agency reached out to us, we were like, okay, we don't want to work with you because we have better ways to make money. You know those clients where you already know, okay, hey, this will be such a crazy effort to work with them. So, and to be honest, at this time, we were so dumb. Because we were not making money at all. So we were not in the position to reject people just because we were thinking, okay, this work with them will make us a lot of effort. Back then we needed that money, but we rejected them because we had such a crazy ego. So, and here's also one learning for you guys. If you have a company, your ego can destroy your company completely. So, and yeah, and then we came to a point where we did not have money at all. So, and a lot of our friends told us, okay, the only option that you have right now is to either go back to cold calls, door-to-door acquisition to get agency clients. And we were so spoiled at this time that we were like, no, we're not doing like cold calls. Why we should do that? Why we should do door-to-door acquisition? We are not small anymore and so on. But we did not have money to invest into ads for our client acquisition. So this was the only option. So we procrastinated a lot. And we then realized, okay, hey, another option that we have is to monetize our theme page properly. So, and we knew, okay, the best way to monetize it is really with coaching and consulting. So to help other people to build a business. So teaching people how they can build a social media agency, how they can build a theme page, how they can build a coaching consulting business. So this is what we knew until that time. So, and what we then did is that we procrastinated, and it got so worse that we even had to take a loan. And because we were such a new company in Switzerland, we couldn't get just a loan from a normal bank. So, and all of them rejected us, but we needed money to pay our rent, to pay all our fixed costs. I remember how our tax consultant were the only person who offered us a loan. He said like, hey, I can give you guys 15,000 francs, but you need to pay me that money back after 3 months. So, and with this 15,000 francs, we were able to live for, yeah, quite another month. And we were also able to invest it in ads. But at this time, we still not had the courage to start our coaching consulting business because we were still thinking our English is not good enough. What will people think about us and so on. So, and I remember how we then started looking for mentors and coaches because we knew, okay, hey, we can't come out of the situation alone. So we don't know the solution and we're kind of so stuck from our mindset right now that we're not even able to take actions. So, and at this time we found one of our mentors and he was one of the people that knew how to monetize a theme page probably. And when I mean probably, that means to scale a theme page to multiple six figures per month. And I remember how we joined his program. We were so broke that we even paid the program with the last money from our American Express. We don't even have the money in our bank account, so we were completely broke. Literally all we had in our business bank account were 800 francs. I literally have the screenshot from it. So, and we decided to join his program because we were like, okay, We have no other option. We don't know how to monetize that page. Probably we don't know how to scale up this business. We need help. So, and we then paid this program through this American Express card. And I remember Joselina even were asking him if we can do even more installments than usual, because we did not have the money back then. And then we started checking everything out and making a plan and everything. And I remember when we started off, this were the end of the month. And like I said, guys, we had no money at all. We had no money in our business bank account. We had no money in our private bank account. And it was like 7 days before paying our rent. So it was really, really tough for us. And I remember at this time, I was in Switzerland with Selina and Jose. And we were all sitting there in this big kitchen table. And we were discussing, okay, what we should do next. How we can finally make some money to really pay our rent at the end of the month. Because the loan was already, we already used it. So there was no money. So, and we really got into a big fight. And guys, we never fight. So literally in those 4 years, there was never like a fight or something where we were like screaming and everything. But this day, we really got a fight, because one thing was clear. We had just 7 days to pay us out because we needed to pay our rent. Everyone was fucking nervous. Everyone was like, how we shall make it. And I remember how Jose said, like, hey, we need to realize, okay, we fucked up and we need help from the government. Because in Switzerland, you can get support from the government to pay your rent and all that kind of stuff when you're like, yes, bankrupt, when you don't have money at all. So, and we said like, hey, no, we're not going to do that. We're not giving up. We can achieve that. And the problem was also that I came as an entrepreneur to Switzerland. And when you come as an entrepreneur to Switzerland, you're not able to get that kind of help. So for me, there was anyways no option. So, and I remember how he said like, hey, we need to realize this. We need help. Stop being so delusional, you guys, so we will not achieve this. And me and Selina, we were like, we can achieve this. We can achieve this. There is a way how we can make that money in 7 days. And we needed like 10K to pay at least our fixed cost, our rent and everything. So for all of us, so 10K in total for three people, what is really like a minimum wage in Switzerland when you think about that. And I remember how we were screaming at each other, and he said then, Leah, okay, I will leave you guys alone with your delusional things, so I don't think that we can make it. And to be honest, looking back then, he were kind of right, because it was really, really tough. So, and to make that money with the agency, it was literally impossible for us, because when you have an agency, you have such a big sales process that it takes at least, I would say, 2 weeks, 3 weeks to get that money into your bank. So, and the only option that we had is to stick on this mentoring program that we bought and to monetize Confidently Woman and to launch our own mentoring program, so our own coaching program. So, and I remember how Selina and I were then sitting there alone in the table, like we were so fucking tired, we were so fucking stressed. So literally every single emotion that you can feel as a person were going through our nerves. And I remember how I was asking her, do you think we can really make it, Selina? And you know when you know a person really good, so when you know when a person doesn't believe something, when you know a person is lying. And I remember how she looked into my eyes and her whole eyes were wet, so she were almost crying. She was saying, smiling, "Of course we will make it." And I was like, fuck, we will not make it. She doesn't believe in it. And this were the moment where I was like, we don't have any other option. And remember how she were holding my hand, like at the other side of the table, and she was saying, no matter what happens, we will find a way out of it. We will make it. Even if it's unrealistic, we will make it. We will make a plan now. We will write everything down, what we need to do. And at least for those 7 days, we will do everything that is in our power to make that money. Literally just speaking about that, I get goosebumps, because this was the moment when I realized, okay, fuck, she is a real one. So I could literally go through hell with Selena and I will knew I would come out of it. So, and we made a plan. We really structured everything. Okay, what we need to do first, what we need to do next, how we going to sell that wall thing. We watched the wall mentoring program, structured everything, and we launched. Ladies and gentlemen, within 7 days, we made 17K net profit. We were making more than we needed to survive in this case. So, and this was the moment where I realized, okay, even if you fucked up like crazy, even if you are at the darkest place in your life, everything can change within a minute. So, and what we then did is that we started scaling up that wolf thing, because we realized, okay, we can make money with it. Our audience is interested in the product and the service that we're offering. When we are able to make 17K, we are able to even make 25, 30, 50, 80, even 100K. And I knew that the people that I had around me, these were the right people to achieve those goals. Even if we were like having like those different opinions how we should handle the situation back then, I knew, okay, hey, I can go to war with those people. So I can really, really go on with those people. So, and after 6 months of launching our first mentoring program, we hit our first 100K month. So, and looking back where we started, $15,000 in debt with the loan from our tax consultant, not having a clue at all what we should do, what business works for us, and so on, and making then the first six figures, I knew, okay, there's literally no limit in life. There's no limit in business in general. So, and this was the time where literally the world freedom began. I moved to this time to the Dominican Republic with my parents back then. This was the first time where I really could enjoy the benefits of my business. So I could travel. Money was no longer a problem. I was making good money. I was living my best life in the Dominican Republic. For sure, I was working hard, I'm not gonna lie. But every single weekend, I was able to go to a different place there and to get my vacation. I was visiting the most beautiful places. I could work whenever I want. I could be really completely free. After the Dominican Republic, I went back to Germany and just stayed there for 3 weeks, decided to go to Mexico, then came back to Germany, went to Switzerland, went back to the Dominican Republic, and all that was completely spontaneously. I was literally living the life that I always wanted, this kind of really, really crazy life. I had no responsibilities for anyone, just for me and my business. I had no one telling me, hey, you need to come home at this and this date because we need you for work. I had nothing that could stop me. I was really, really living my dream. Money was no longer a problem. If I wanted something, I could just get it. And for sure, I'm not talking about designers or supercars here. But for me, being rich was simply being able to do whatever the fuck I want. To wake up in the morning and to say, okay, I'm now booking a flight to Mexico. I'm living there my best life. Okay, I was in the Dominican Republic 2 months ago. I want to go again there. Let me book a flight. Like from one day to another to take decisions like this. This was for me real, real wealth back then. And in this time, I were able to finally fulfill one of my biggest dreams. So after I came back from the Dominican Republic, it was literally 2 weeks later, I took a flight to Dubai completely alone. And I remember how the people were asking me, Maribel, why you're going to Dubai by yourself, alone? You don't know anyone there. And I was like, I don't care. Especially when I'm looking for a place where I want to move in, I want to be sure that I'm feeling comfortable when I'm alone there. So, and I was thinking for quite some time to move to Dubai. So, and I was like, this is the perfect condition to go there alone to check if I'm feeling really comfortable being alone there. And if so, I'm gonna move there. Because as you know, Dubai was always like super famous for like young online entrepreneurs. And you okay, if I want to crush it in business, if I want to go all in, if I want to build that environment that I need right now to really come to the top, I need to move to Dubai. So, and I was there for 2 weeks. I literally fell in love with the city and I was able to say directly after the vacation, I'm going to move to Dubai. Everyone were like, what the fuck? But you don't need to plan that out. You don't need... No, I'm going to move to Dubai. I'm free and I can do that. I got an agency who did for me the company registration and everything. And I remember how I was telling this guy, hey, I want to be in Dubai as soon as possible. He was like, say no more, girl. Can you be in 2 weeks in Dubai again? I was like, hell yes, I can be back in Dubai in 2 weeks. And after 2 weeks, I moved to Dubai. And I moved into my dream apartment. Everything that I ever wanted, I just accomplished it. And just by thinking about that, and just by going through the war story now, it's fucking crazy. It's fucking crazy from the place where I came, making six figures, with 25 years old, living in my dream apartment in Dubai, and being able to say, I can do whatever I want and to become whoever I want. And to be honest, all the things that happened in my life, all the rejections, all the bad things especially, people will say bad things. For me nowadays, I'm grateful for them. They were meant to be. I needed to go through that journey to become the person that I'm today. And even the time we were struggling financially so damn hard, this was so freaking important for us. Because if I would never have gone through that, probably I would have never built Confidently Woman. I would have never built a coaching program. I would have never been able to change so many lives. If we would have sticked on our limiting belief, wow, our English is not good enough to coach other people, we would never have been able to change so many lives. And I'm so freaking grateful for everything that happened back then, because the result is the life that I'm living right now. I'm my own boss. I can do whatever I want, and this is real freedom. So one learning that I want to give you through that story is that no matter how dark the place is right now where you are, there's a light, trust me. And this light, when you keep following it, it's gonna blind you. So amazing your life gonna be. So whatever you have in your mind, make a plan and go for it. Every rejection or bad thing that happens in your life, trust me, be grateful for it. But always remember, no one is coming to save you. If you want to change your life, it's all up to you. You are the person who can turn everything around. So go and get it and own it. Own your life, create it, and enjoy it.